It's the first blank game week of the season, so is it time to wildcard your way out or fire up that free hit? We've got all the tips to help you get through game week 8. Hello, welcome back to the FPL pod. No FPL, of course, since we were last with you, but plenty for us to chat about as we resume with a blank game week 8. Jules and Sam are back with me to do just that, and both with children back at school, which, Jules, I'm guessing means no interruptions from Margot.
Well, funny you say that, because she's just right there. Her school starts a little bit later than her brother's. So, but for now, she's good.
She's sitting on the iPad next to us. I think she's going to be an FPL supreme manager very soon with all the tips that she hears every Thursday morning. Sam, how are the FPL family coping with half of the FPL family back at school?
Oh, it's the dream, isn't it? Suddenly, I can sit in the mornings and work out what I'm doing with my FPL team without having to worry about how I'm getting them to school. Although this morning, I have had to rope in the grandparents to come and take them to school whilst I'm recording this podcast. So they are loving their life right now with Nanny and Grandad, who are way better than Mummy and Daddy, apparently, anyway.
I can't possibly comment, but our thanks from everyone here at the FPL pod for Granny and Grandad for stepping in so you can be here with us. Enough children chat. Anyway, it's time to welcome our third guest, who is way cooler than all of us. Not that that's especially hard, as that intro chat probably goes to show. So it's a big hello to the front man from the Cortinas, Liam Frey. Liam, it's great to have you with us. And I believe you're a big FPL manager as well.
Yeah, great to be here. This is, you know, this is better than Glastonbury. Do you know what I mean? This is the holy grail. This is it. After this, I'm giving up.
No pressure, guys. Better than Glastonbury. Can we put that on like the bio, the about for the podcast?
Of course you can.
I actually noticed that your latest single is called "It'll Take More Than a Weekend Away to Fix This Mess." I wondered if that was indirectly a reference to FPL.
Yeah, well, this season, most definitely. I didn't even pick up on that, but yes. Yeah.
How is your season going anyway? I'm hoping that it actually isn't representative of your campaign so far.
Do you know what? It's the worst it's ever been. I've never had this bad a start. I think I'm like 5.1, 5.2 or something. But even if I've had a shaky start and you're 2 million in like game week 1, always clawed it back pretty quickly. But this year, it's just not happening. I look at my team and go, yep, that's fine. That's fine. You know, I guess like holding on to Trent and Salah, didn't start with Haaland, big mistake. And then I think I did a bit of swapping between, like, had Jesus, didn't have him, had him, missed out on a couple. So a bit knee-jerky, wild-carded in 3. So yeah, I know, tell me about it. But do you know what? I've been playing about maybe 15 years, I'd say I've wildcarded within 3 or 4 weeks most of those times. And it usually works out okay. You know what I mean? I'm usually, by the end of the season, it's been all right, but yeah, not so this year.
Sam, we do say though, don't we? It's okay. We were saying it all pre-season. If at the beginning of the season you think your team's going to be good and it's not after a few weeks, it's okay to admit you've got it wrong. That's what the wildcard's there for.
Absolutely. Yeah, the wild card is there for when you think your team needs it. And that will be different to when somebody else's team needs it. And it doesn't really matter when you play it, as long as you use it wisely. And I think, you know, using it in game week 3 or 4 comes at a point where we do know a lot about the players that you want to go for. And it makes sense at that point to start thinking about making changes. I think this season it has been more difficult. It's been difficult to kind of get started and get some traction on it. But, you know, Liam, I won't panic yet. I think we've got plenty of time to fix the issues. Yeah. And, of course, the unlimited transfer window when the World Cup is on. So loads of time to make plenty of changes to your team. And, you know, I'm nowhere near where I'd want to be in the world right now. But that is just a progress thing that takes a bit of time sometimes.
I think a big thing was the Champions League starting. You knew there's going to be rotation. So people like Foden, I just wanted to get on him straight away. I've been watching it and it's been like, he's been close and there's been nearly assists and stuff. But I was the only person in a few of my minutes who had Foden. And if he just clicked, so he's been one that's not really done it for me. And now he didn't start last night, did he? So I'll probably start on Saturday. But there's a few players like that where you think they'd have been nailed on for this first section. And now there's going to be all sorts going on. So it's going to be interesting, I think, with the Champions League back.
Liam, I feel like I should also add that we've got a mutual friend of a friend, and he told me that you're so good at FPL, they don't even let you enter the league anymore. They kicked you out. So let's not have this worry is me story here.
I'm in a couple of mini leagues, and I've got a few friends that are really good. I'm usually thereabouts in the top, you know, two or three. But yeah, there was one particular league, and they weren't. I knew a few of them, and it's kind of, you know, an invite of a friend, and I ended up winning it a couple of years, and I didn't get the invite this year, which they'll be kicking themselves because I'll be right at the bottom. So
yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
I've just taken a little look at your team actually as well. You've got Henderson in goal, Alexander Arnold, Walker, James, Perisic, Cucurella, Salah, Martinelli, Foden, Jesus, Haaland, a bench at the moment of Ward, Neto, Murphy, and Archer. Jules, that isn't bad,
is it? That's good. That's good. Yeah. Now, not sure if it's Glastonbury level, but it's not. You know, it's not bad. I understand the frustration, brother. I understand.
Okay, well, let's move on and look ahead to what could potentially be a tricky game week 8. Of course, at this point, we would normally review the game week, but it was postponed. So a reminder that all free hits were reinstated. Managers were also able to cancel triple captain and bench boost chips, and the wild cards rolled through the deadline so that they remain active ahead of game week 8, which will be our first blank game week of the season because there are no fixtures for Chelsea, Liverpool, Manchester United, Leeds, Brighton and Palace. And Jules, you've panicked, haven't you?
Completely. I mean,
of course he's panicked.
Do I free hit? Do I wild card? Because my plan, as you know, and for the listeners who've been with us through the season, my plan was always to wild card during the international break, which is obviously coming next week. But now I'm thinking, okay, maybe I should free hit because for the following game week, when we come back from the international break, my team and my squad right now look good for the next two game weeks even. So I said, do I really need to wild card? Maybe free hit is good. But then I'd be gutted towards the end of the season when I really need a free hit and I won't have it, for example. So I'm really, really torn. I mean, I don't even sleep at night. What I did at the weekend, I even entered fantasy football for other leagues in Europe, Bundesliga, Liga, and just for the weekend, because I was like, what am I going to do this weekend without the Premier League and fantasy football? So, but yeah, I'm torn between the two.
Sam, what would you recommend?
I need you, Sam.
It's difficult. Oh, Jules, come on. It's difficult, this one, I think, because there are so many different strategies that managers could take, and there isn't going to be a right answer for what you should do with game week 8. Blank game weeks are, well, they're often the big difference between, you know, a really successful game week and a really bad one. And it's so diverse across this because you'll have some managers that think, I'm going to wildcard this time around. And by wildcarding at this point, you have to be really careful that you don't just set up your team for game week 8 and then look at it come game week 9 and go, but I haven't got any Liverpool, I haven't got any Chelsea, I haven't got any Brighton or Palace or whoever it is that you want, because the fixtures for some of those clubs coming out of the international break are really, really nice. So if you're going to wildcard, you just have to think more long term than just game week 8. Free hit gives you the luxury of being able to go, right, I'm just concentrating on these teams that are in game week 8. I get to keep the likes of Reece James, maybe Wilf Zaha, who you're going to want after the international break, without compromising your team. But as Jules says, it does mean that come the end of the season or towards the middle of the season, when we probably will start to get some more blank and double game weeks around the FA Cup, that you won't have the luxury of using it there. Or do you say, okay, my team doesn't look that bad. Like Jules has just said, it looks okay for the following week. So I would like to keep it roughly intact. So I either go into the game week with less than 11 players, or I take a points hit to get myself to 11 players. I don't think there's a right or wrong answer. For me right now, I'm planning to play through it because I can get to 11 without a points hit. Really nice 11 if I take a points hit. But there is a part of me in the back of my head that says a free hit team looks really nice. Like I built one for this week and thought, oh, that actually looks really nice because you don't have to budget for a lot of the expensive players. So you can have a really, really nice team if you free hit this time.
Liam, you've already admitted that you've already used your wild card. There was an eye roll there, by the way, to everyone listening. What's your plan for this game week?
So I looked at my team yesterday. It's in a bad state for this week. So I'm going to take a -4. I've got 2 frees. So I'm going to take a -4. I wanted Trippier for a while, so I'm going to bring in Trippier, Kane and Saka.
Nice.
And usually, I think free hit, I'd always keep mine for double game week, usually. I think, yeah, I think if you're going to wildcard now, I think you can look at this a bit of a fixture swing, isn't there? A lot of people jumping off Salah, myself included, this week. But I think that's really, really dangerous because I just think he's, you know, he's still getting chances. That 9-0, that was just a freak, wasn't it? Like he's not gonna be blanking, you know, from now until the end of the season. I think the way my season is, I'm almost just kamikaze at the minute. I'm like, it doesn't really matter. So it's I feel a lot less pressure in a way, so I can kind of have a bit of fun with it and be a little bit more aggressive, I think, on the moves. I've always been a bit of a fan of taking a hit. I'm not a cautious manager. I'll always, you know, if it needs be. But I like the players that I've got playing. I like it. I'd like to hear Sam's free hit team, though, because I'd be interested to see. Who did you have, Sam?
Oh, I think when it comes to a free hit, you've got a couple of things that you need to think about. Obviously, you want to spread the budget across the team as much as you can. So if I was doing a free hit this week, I'd double up with the Newcastle defence. Like you've just mentioned Trippier, and I think he's going to be a player that I think most people, if you don't have this week, might be watching behind the sofa thinking, I wish I had Kieran Trippier because there's the potential for the clean sheet. And we all know what he's like from set pieces. Always got an opportunity there to return there from set pieces, taken more free kicks and corners than any other defender in the game so far. Obviously, that increases his route to points. So I'd have him alongside Nick Pope in goal because I think he's the best goalkeeper option for this week. I back him on either side with Cancelo and probably Royale from Spurs. I think I keep a close eye on what Conte's got to say in the press conferences. But Spurs have a really good record against Leicester and they tend to get really nice attacking returns. So either Royale or Perisic or Sessegnon, depending upon who's going to start, would make my back three. And then I'd have a midfield of Martinelli, James Ward-Prowse, KDB and Andreas Pereira. I think Andreas Pereira feels like a player that you don't always want to play because he's so cheap, you think you should leave him on your bench. But it's a really nice fixture for Fulham this week. So I'd be looking to play him. I'd keep him Martinelli. It's a really nice fixture for Arsenal. And you could increase your Arsenal coverage if you wanted to by looking at somebody like Saka in there as well, because his fixture is really good this week. And then up top, I'd go big with Haaland and Kane and Mitrovic, because I think Kane, his record against Leicester is just phenomenal. He averages 9 points per match against them. His biggest ever FPL return came against them back in the 16-17 season. We got 24 points. I remember that one very well indeed. He was in my FPL team that year, as you would expect, guys.
Did you remember
that
when you didn't pick him all season so far? Did you remember that?
Well, do you remember, Jules? I did pick him once this season and he blanked. Sure. So this is my concern. But I do think, you know, you've got a really nice team now. There is a question mark for me in that squad about whether you go with Mitrovic or whether you look to upgrade and go with somebody like Jesus instead. And I think that will be a balance that wildcarding and free hitting managers have to have, because if you're wildcarding, maybe Jesus isn't the one going forward because the Arsenal fixtures do swing. But if you're free hitting, it is a great fixture this week. So you have to maybe make some compromises. But I think what you get is the opportunity to have three premiums in KDB, in Haaland and in Kane, alongside a really nice premium defence as well, because you're not having to budget for the Liverpool boys. So I do think there's a lot of scope with a free hit this week.
I feel like this podcast, because I'm so torn with what to do with my team, sometimes I do this show and I forget that I'm meant to be the presenter and I'm meant to be asking questions on behalf of everyone. And I'm just asking questions for my own team. And this week might be one of those episodes because I'm so confused on what to do. It sounds like there from your team, Sam, you've targeted certain teams. Have you got, that was Three City, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Three City.
I would definitely be targeting Three City. And I think even if you aren't free hitting this week and you're wildcarding, target Three City. And then I think you kind of pick from the other teams what you want to do. There's a couple of Newcastle in there. There's a couple of Spurs in there, but I think you could treble up on Spurs against Leicester this week. You can look at Arsenal, you could double or treble up on them for this game week if you're free hitting. If you're wildcarding, probably not on Arsenal. So there are a few teams that I think you want to double or triple up on, but particularly Manchester City, they're the standout this week.
Now, Jules, I admitted before we started recording today that I watched your goals show that you do on British TV, which shows all of the goals from the Champions League for the very first time last night. And my ears really pricked up. I was doing some prep for the pod at the time. My ears really pricked up when Haaland scored for Manchester City, because you were waxing lyrical about the ball in from Joao Cancelo. And I think you said something along the lines of, that's what he does. but all season you've been telling us that that number seven shirt doesn't suit him. Have you been persuaded that maybe it does now?
So you've caught him out, Kelly.
When I free hit, then I forget about the number seven on the back of his shirt and I put him in my free hit team because...
Oh, of course.
It's capable. I still, Liam, that's the issue I've had. If, you know, Joao Cancelo with the number seven, I mean, this is, it doesn't add up to me. So that's why the girls have been laughing. Yeah, exactly. Thank you very much. But that cross with the outside of his foot was amazing. Like, I like Quaresma. And the Johan Cruyff is kind of, whatever you want to call it, backheel volley or something from Haaland is from, from another planet. But yeah, I mean, because I'm thinking about free hitting, I've got a lot of similar players to what Sam said. Certainly the Cancelo, Trippier and Emerson at the back with Pope in goal. The front three, because I would keep Kane, Haaland and Jesus. I already have. And then in midfield, I would go for Saka more than Martinelli, probably. And my big call, because it's Heung-min Son this week, if I free hit. I think Son against Leicester could be the game where it finally happens. I watched him against Sporting and he created a chance and it was still not the Son that we know, but I feel like he's getting closer and I think this weekend could be the one. And I need a differential because, like Liam, my start of the season hasn't been great. So I need someone who will do something and that nobody else have in this team. And I believe it could be him. So,
Liam, I think that got the nod of approval from you there when he said about Son. Do you agree that he's coming into form?
It's like a bit like Salah over like the last three or four seasons. They've been so good. You don't just turn bad overnight. So there'll be a game when they turn it on. And if you've got them for that game in front of everybody else, you're jumping massively. It's just getting them there. It's that fear factor. I think everybody was scared to sell Salah. It seems like people are dropping off them a bit. And do you think Haaland will definitely start against Wolves?
I think because he didn't play last weekend. Obviously,
and it's an international break next week, isn't it?
International break where he would go with nowhere and there would be matches for him. But I think you have to finish on a high as well if you're City. The game against Dortmund was very disappointing, even if you won in the end, but you played badly for most of it. I think you can't really afford to bench him.
Sam, quickly going back to that Son shout, as a resident Spurs fan who I think watches pretty much every minute of every game in every competition.
You know.
Do you know what, Kelly? I'm going to hate this moment. I'm literally going to hate this moment, but I sort of agree with Jules.
Clip that up.
I know. So I'm really torn this week because I can go to Son for free this week in field 11. Or I can go to Kane and it'll be a -4 because obviously I'm taking the money from Salah and redistributing it up top. And I'm wildcarding next week, so I don't really have to think about the long-term implications of my transfer. So it is literally a one-week punt on Son or Kane. Actually, I'd quite like to have both. And if I was free hitting, I'd maybe try and budget for both of them. Because I do really like the Son pick for this week. He is not performing well. But you do know that when he does go, he is going to go big. Like, I feel if he goes early in that game against Leicester and gets one goal, he could get a hat trick because his confidence will just come back. He'll shoot on sight then. We'll have the kind of the Son runs that we're used to. We've been seeing some of them over the last few weeks. They're starting to creep back in. I think the competition from Richarlison, the way that all four of them can't play in a team together, and it's been Kulusevski so far that's kind of lost out to Richarlison. But how long does that continue if Son doesn't return at all? Because when Kulusevski is coming on, he's looking good. I think we'll need to start seeing something from Son. And maybe this is the week that it happens because I already mentioned Kane's record against Leicester, but Son has just as good a record against Leicester as Kane does. So I am tempted. I'm really tempted as part of my transfers this week to save the points, to go in with Son, because if I've got it wrong and he doesn't return this week, it will be very easy to just move him on to Kane in the wild card the week after. So when you're making punts that are only 1 week, either on a free hit or because you're planning to wild card next week, players like Son are great differentials.
Jules, very quickly, something else that was different in your free hit team to Sam's. You said you were going for Saka over Martinelli. Sam watches a lot of Spurs. You watch a lot of Arsenal. What's made you go Saka's way?
Well, because his form has picked up a little bit with the goal against United, the assist the game before against Aston Villa. And I do think that in that kind of form now, it'd be quite normal and logical for Mikel Arteta and Arsenal to kind of give the ball maybe a bit more to Saka than before Martinelli when he was in top form. And at times, they were clearly some patterns of play were made for Martinelli and Gabriel Jesus and that kind of relationship. Now it feels that he shifted maybe a little bit more towards towards Bukayo Saka and in that kind of form, it would be crazy not to feed him the ball, and say, especially because he's such an amazing 1v1 player, and that's how they use him, and that's the right way to use him, by the way. When you're playing a game like this against Rico Henry, for example, and you can isolate them, and then you can go Saka, okay, you go, and then there might be a goal and an assist on the back of it. So I do wonder if maybe the focus now from Arteta is, okay, let's put him in the perfect situation, if you want, because he's on top form. We've got all the stats. Everything shows us that now he's at his peak. Maybe the start of the season was a bit slower, but now he's peaked, and play on him, giving the ball, feed him and let him do his thing. And that's why I think maybe the shift has gone a little bit between Martinelli, who was so good for most of the start of the season compared to Saka. And now in the last couple of games, it felt like it's the other way around now.
I think for me, I would have gone with Saka over Martinelli in that free hit team had it not been budget. So that free hit team that I read out, by the time you budget for a very cheap bench, comes in at 99.1 million. So there wasn't enough budget to get from Saka or to Saka from Martinelli. But I do think the underlying stats suggest that that's the right thing to do if you can afford it.
Well, come on then, Liam. You did ask Sam who she would have in her free hit. You actually heard Jules and Sam's free hit. Very similar, but how did you rate them? Would they be similar to what you do? And actually, are you considering free hitting now, given the fact you've used that wild card?
I did think about it, but I still think the free hit, I think I'd rather use it on double game week because I just like seeing loads of
it's more
points.
Fun, isn't it?
Yeah, it
so
just
much
is.
More fun. That's like FPL is meant to be fun, and for me, yeah. Double game week.
All right.
If on the first game of the game week your player doesn't return, you've got another game for him to get it back. It's all right.
I do like the Saka and Martinelli thing because I've got Martinelli at the minute, and I'm going to bring Saka in as well this week, and let them duel it out. And whoever gets out on top, the other one's going to go next week.
Oh, it's survival of the fittest.
Yeah. Yeah, but why not? Like, Saka's numbers look pretty good. And he's a bit of a differential in my mini leagues. My overall rank game this year, I think that's gone. I think that, just forget about that. So it's all about the mini leagues. And I have to look and I think, yeah, no one's really got Saka. And I think as well, a big part, when you start really well, you play a different game. You're safer. I kind of like this chase. And I'm just like, I like watching Saka. I really like watching him play, so I've brought Saka in. In terms of the free hit, it's strange because I feel like I've brought these players in, and I'm still I think I've only got 9 playing, so I'm still well down. So come Friday afternoon, my finger will probably be hovering over that free hit button. Let's face it.
And you'll be rewinding back through this podcast, copying their teams, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, but we'll see. Yeah, at the minute, I'm going to hold off.
I don't think it's the end of the world, though, Liam, if you don't have a full team of players out for this week.
That was my next question. I was going to say, I've got 8 at the moment, 2 free transfers could get me to 10. Sorry, this is the moment again where I've forgotten I'm presenter and I'm now just firing questions at you for my own team.
But I don't think that's the end of the world. Like, I mean, so I've currently, in my team, I've made no transfers yet. I've got 2 frees. I've got 5 players that aren't playing this weekend, but some of them I don't want to get rid of just in case I decide not to wildcard over the international break. Like players like Reece James, not going to play this week, but don't want to lose him moving forward because I fancy Chelsea's fixtures, and with Potter in charge now, I suspect that they might go on a nice run. So I'm looking at my team thinking there are players in there, maybe like you with Marcus Rashford, Kelly, who you don't necessarily want to sell and not have back. So therefore, do you really want to take them out for a hit this week? Well, maybe not. And therefore, it would be okay. I think personally, it's okay if you've only got 10 players. 9, you could probably get away with. There will be a lot of teams that don't have 11 players out. I think 8 is a few too few, Kelly. But then you can get to 10, right, with your 2 free transfers. So you're going to be okay going through this week if you just have 10. If you want to take the punt and take a -4 to get a full team out, then I think that can absolutely work. And that is something that I'm looking at with the Kane potential transfer, because I think if you're going to go with somebody big that can make a massive difference, then do it for a -4. But you don't feel the need to take -12s to get a full team out. I think that's what
I'm
saying.
No, I think you should get -12 to get really like a team that can get you 50 points and you'll have a lovely weekend.
50 points, then you'd actually only get 38 of them if you're taking a 12-point hit.
Even
I'm not
better.
Sure that's the best game week.
What a weekend.
Yeah, what a weekend. That would be a painful watch. A lot behind the sofa there. Well, we've discussed the free hit team. Over 150,000 managers at the time of recording on Thursday morning have activated that chip. Jules is hovering over it as well. The wild card, however, is proving far more popular. Over 400,000 managers have opted to do that. A reminder, the difference, if you're new to FPL, the difference between a free hit is you can make unlimited transfers for one game week and then your team reverts back to what you had before for the next game week. So that would be back to normal for game week 9. For a wild card, you change your team completely and then you've got them, well, essentially, until you make a change next week or you use your next wild card. So if you are choosing to wildcard, Sam, with that in mind, with the fact these players are going to be in your team, not just for one game week, but for the long haul, how different would your wildcard team look to that of your free hit that you mentioned?
Yeah, it has to be quite different, doesn't it? Because from this moment, when you play your wildcard, right the way through to game week 16, when we start the unlimited transfers, your team has to work for you and it can't just work for this blank game week. So that means that you're going to want to look at teams that aren't playing this week. Like, you're going to have a plan for Liverpool. You're going to have a plan for teams like Crystal Palace in particular, who've got such great fixtures coming off the back of this blank. So you're going to want to look at these other teams, Manchester United potentially, Brighton potentially, although their fixtures take a massive turn for the worst. But you have to have plans in place for dealing with these teams. So you've got two ways of dealing with it. You either wildcard and create a team as if this blank game week isn't happening. And I think that's what I would do to start with. I would just create a team as if it was my perfect wildcard, forgetting about the fixtures for game week 8 and looking more longer term at game week 9 and beyond. And then I'd work out how many of those players aren't playing this week, how many of them I can put on my bench, which is basically 3 plus maybe a goalkeeper. And then I'd work out who I can sacrifice from the others that I would want and bring them in at a later date, having a plan for in place for doing that. Or you say, who are my 3 non-negotiables that I can bench and bench them and go from there with creating a team then that works for game week 8. The only other way to do it is to literally go, right, I'm going to wildcard to a perfect game week 8 team, because let's be honest, we all hope that our wildcard team brings us a perfect points return the week we play it, although it rarely
never does.
It rarely does. And leave some money in the bank. So that would be one of the strategies that you could deploy. So if you're going to go into this game week without any Liverpool players, given the fixtures are quite nice after the international break for Liverpool, and given that we're maybe starting to see some form coming from them, and we're starting to see some of their key players coming back from injury. So maybe you actually go, all right, well, I'm not going to have Salah. Instead, I'm going to have Son on this wild card, and I'm going to leave £1 million in the bank. And that million will allow me, if that is the wrong decision, to make that transfer afterwards. So just plan ahead. I think you just have to have a bit more thought process that goes through a wild card right now.
Liam, you've already mentioned that you think getting rid of Mo Salah would be risky. It feels like every week we check in with our third guest and say, where do you stand on Liverpool? But has there been a bit of a swing in the way we're feeling about Liverpool, given the way they performed in the Champions League this week?
I mean, before the season started, it was like unthinkable to have. I think the big one was like, is it Darwin and Diaz? Like, yeah. You know, you're like, oh, which one of them are you going to get plus Trent and Salah? And I think I went Trent and Robertson, to be honest, from the beginning. Mm-hmm. And that massively backfired, got enough impact pretty much. I just think Salah's going to explode and like, and he'll do it this week because I've got when he comes back, whatever, because I've just got rid of him. Yeah, it's tough for me. Like the wild card, I had to do it early. I don't know, like even like when you say the Palace things, I would only really want Zaha. And I think that's an easy switch later on. I don't really know. Like Jules, have you played your wild card? Or did you say?
No, I was always going to wait for this international break because
right, okay.
When we divided the season at the start and we said, okay, you mm-hmm. can have different strategies because of the World Cup thing now, which is so unusual for all of us. I thought it felt like a good time to reassess your team, readjust it if you need during this international break. You know who's injured, you know who's been playing well, not well. You can look at the fixture list for the next, you know, for the next 5, 6, 7 game weeks. But now this weekend, it's just like messes with my brain on like, what do I free hit or do I play the wild card now? And it's just driving me insane.
I didn't watch the whole Liverpool game, but I only really saw a couple of the highlights. I don't know. They've not been playing great. And then I think you've got Chelsea as well with Potter is big to see where he plays, like Reece James and stuff. And someone said Sterling was playing almost like left wing back yesterday.
Yeah,
I'm not sure how true that was. I think give them a couple of games to see, because I still think Sterling could be untapped gold in that team. I think if he gets a couple of goals and whatnot, I don't know. I think Sterling could be an option, and no one's really on him either. So.
And I think you've also got the Aubameyang factor, haven't you, with Chelsea? So suddenly we've got a whole team that we've all basically gone, I'm ignoring you, because they've just not been playing well. They've not been keeping clean sheets. They've not been scoring enough goals. They haven't had a main goal scorer. Suddenly Potter's arrived at Chelsea and we're all going, well, this is interesting, because look what he did defensively for Brighton. They were so solid, so secure, and the wing backs were so good for us in FPL. If he's going to do that with the likes of Reece James, then I want him in my team. But I'm also looking quite longingly up that Chelsea pitch, thinking, like you just said, Liam, they're a bit of untapped gold. Nobody's got them right now. Nobody owns Sterling. Nobody owns Mount. Nobody owns Aubameyang. So if you wildcard these players in, they're going to be great differentials. Now, of course, this week, they've got the blank. So it is a bit of a challenge in terms of managing it. But it is something that I think if you wildcard right now, you do have to consider. You have to give yourself a route to these potential players that might suddenly take off after the blank game week in the international break.
It does feel like quite a good time to talk about Chelsea, actually, because since we last spoke about them, Graham Potter is their new manager. Jules, what did you make of their first outing against Salzburg in the Champions League?
I thought it was really interesting tactically what he did, the sort of hybrid back four, back three, if you want. There was a lot of fluidity in Kovacic's positioning and the way he played, and Kai Havertz the same. Raheem Sterling, Liam mentioned, had maybe not left wing back, but certainly had all that sort of left channel to occupy. So when they didn't have the ball, he was just using the width. And when they had the ball and they went to a back three, then he had obviously a lot more freedom. And he scored a lovely goal that he took well. I've said before that I was not convinced that when Tuchel was using him as a centre forward, either second striker or as a lone striker. And I felt that wide, whether it's right or left, but more likely left, is certainly more of his environment. And you could see yesterday against Salzburg that he felt good in that position. So I wouldn't be surprised if Potter keeps him there. For the rest, I'm not sure all that fluidity works for a big club. That's one of the question marks I have over Potter. But I think that he would make them good. He would make them better. They will keep the ball well. They will have a lot of movement of intensity that I think will suit them. And again, as we said, the fixtures list up to Arsenal in game week, I think there's United game week 13 and then Arsenal game week 15. But before that, it's really good for them. So definitely something to keep in mind.
Okay, so Chelsea one to keep an eye on. Liam, we talked about fixture swings. Any other teams that you think managers, again, I know you don't have your wild card, not trying to rub it in, but any other teams that you've noticed that have good fixtures, if managers are wild carding, that they should be looking at?
Well, can I just say, I just tried to print the fixture ticker on my printer just went bust. So I can't see. So I haven't got them in front of me. But I kind of know what they are.
Who still prints things in 2022?
That's why it's bust.
Liam, I'll tell you who's at the top.
Go on.
So when you look at the top of the fixture ticker at the moment, bizarrely, yeah, Bournemouth at top, followed by Aston Villa, Everton,
Fulham. Triple up on Bournemouth, yeah?
Yeah, exactly. Crystal Palace, West Ham, Newcastle, Leicester and Spurs. They make up the top half.
Is that until the World Cup then? Or is that just the next five or six?
Yeah, so that runs through from game week 8 to game week 16. You see, you are an FPL expert asking those sorts of questions. I love it, Liam. And then at the bottom, you've got Brighton, Leeds, Arsenal, Liverpool, Wolves and Southampton. So the bottom of the fixture has four of the teams we've been targeting lately in Brighton, in Leeds, in Arsenal and Liverpool.
Arsenal, yeah. Wow. Okay.
He's writing it down as well, from printer to pen and paper.
Old school. Yeah.
Liam, this is what I do. I've got a notebook and I make all my FPL notes in my notebook.
I tell you what, if somebody found my notebook, they'd be like, shopping list and FPL, that's all that's in it.
Yes.
And they probably flip over and see like song lyrics and stuff like that as well.
The next album's going to be about Cucurella and Martinelli and whatever.
Yeah. And you can dedicate it to us as well. We'll give that a push on the pod as well. Don't worry.
I think it'd do all right if you guys pushed it.
I think you're doing all right anyway. Let's go back to FPL chat.
I think the Liverpool and Arsenal thing at the bottom, it's tough. Those guys at the top, a lot of people had Ramsey, didn't they, at the beginning. Everton haven't been playing that badly, even though they haven't got a load of points on the board. Zaha for Palace. There's not a lot to get excited about, I don't think. Bowen's not been playing great in comparison to last year, or at least he's not had the returns. I haven't watched a lot of West Ham, so apologies if you're a West Ham fan, and he has been playing great. And were Newcastle up there as well in the top five or six? Yeah,
they are. Yeah, they're just behind West Ham.
I think the forward, is it Isak?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yep. But he's only played a couple of games, hasn't he? But I think he's on the watch list. I think he's one to watch closely, I think.
We joke there about a watch list, but it's actually a really good idea to have this watch list, particularly when such big fixture swings are coming in at the moment, isn't it, Jules? Anyone on your watch list at the minute?
Yeah, the Paquette, of course, because Paqueta at West Ham, because we mentioned that the fixtures are good. And I think once it clicks for him, he's such an amazing player that once it clicks, him and Bowen, him and Antonio, or him and Scamacca, him and Benrahma, Fornals, whoever Moyes decides to play. And if I mean, David, please just play a bit more Brazilian type of football. And if when that clicks, I think Paqueta could be a really good differential. But Bowen can wake up. And again, for what Liam said earlier about Heung-min Son and what we said about Salah as well, Bowen hasn't become a bad player over the summer because he went to the Maldives. You know, he's still very good. It's just that at the moment, it's just not happening for them. But when you look at the fixtures, potentially there could be again a turning point in Bowen's season. So they should be there for Crystal Palace. We mentioned Egei, Anderson are very good defenders. Eze, Zaha, of course, is the main one, but is a little bit different because there's a lot of ownership on him. But yeah, all those names, just keep an eye. And when you look at the stats of expected goals, expected assists, touches in the box, all of that, plus your own feeling when you watch them play, then you could see, okay, now it's time to bring him in because something is going to happen.
What I really like about the top of the fixture ticker right now, though, is that we're talking about teams that are really low budget to invest in. So Bournemouth, Aston Villa, Everton, Fulham, Palace. These are teams that you can invest in with next to no FPL budget spent. That means you can afford to go heavy on your Manchester City assets, on your Spurs assets, and on your Chelsea assets if you take away the blank game that they should have been playing in game week 8. So when you look at the fixture ticker for the future, you could see how, you know, a little bit of a chance on maybe one of the Aston Villa attacking players because the fixtures are really nice, particularly in the midfield positions. I think the forward line is tough because you're going to want Haaland. You're probably going to want Mitrovic because the fixtures are really nice for Fulham. And then you're probably going to have either Isak or Kane as your third forward going forward. But then the midfield, there's so many variable options you can go. We've mentioned Zaha a few times. You're probably going to keep Pereira at Fulham. But why not take a chance on one of the Aston Villa midfielders? Because they're not going to cost you a lot of money, but it will enable you to maybe also have one of the premium midfielders alongside the two heavy ones up top. So I kind of like the fact that it's the budget teams that are providing us with the best fixtures between now and the World Cup.
Yeah, I like that. And so many seasons where that kind of budget enabler, if you will, to borrow a phrase, that'll be the difference. I've got fond memories of Clint Dempsey and Charlie Adam.
Yeah,
just before other people were on him. Like, everyone's got, you know, Van Persie or whoever, and it's like, oh, you know what? I just get this Blackpool midfielder, and before you know it, he's chipped away, and it's like, you know, so it could be someone for one of those teams that makes a difference. You know, the big hitters are so obvious that you know, you do that bit of digging to lower end. And if you can get on them before anyone else, that's the key, isn't it? I suppose.
You know, I think I'm going to pitch to the Premier League at some point that we should do a nostalgic FPL podcast, because as you were reading off those names then, I was like, oh, remember him, remember that. John Lundstrom a couple of seasons ago. We've had all these players where we can all reminisce about those highs and those lows. Mainly, I remember the lows. I'm still thinking of when I triple-captained Sadio Mane a couple of years ago.
Oh, Kenny, why have you put it up?
I still think about it most mornings, Sam. Let's round off the podcast then by bringing it back to the here and now. You guys have still got plenty of decisions, it sounds like, to make this week. I certainly have, that's for sure. You, Liam, have said you're bringing in Saka. Just confirm your transfers for us and also who you're going to captain.
Yeah, so transfers for this week. I took out Trent, Salah. I know I'm going to regret that in 2 weeks' time. And, and Archer. And brought in Trippier, Saka and Kane.
Nice.
Oh, what great transfers that
nice.
Is.
I like those transfers.
Yeah. So not only is it three non-players for three players, but I feel like, I'm quite happy with them going forward. Again, I've got Saka, Martinelli and Jesus. So obviously at least one, if not two of those, will go over the next few. But I like the idea of Saka and Martinelli battling it out for a place in my starting lineup next week. So, it's a head-to-head for them too in my team.
Yeah, when I watch Arsenal next week, that's the main thing I'm going to be looking for. Who's made it into Liam's team for the rest of the season? Jules, your transfers, are you going to free hit? Have you kind of confirmed that now?
No, I'm undecided. I've got a bit of time, still a bit of time before deciding. The deadline is obviously on Friday, so I can re-listen to the show later when it's out and decide what to do. The captain, would be Erling Johan Cruyff's Haaland. So it's I said, I cannot not captain him. So,
Is it as easy as that this week?
Yeah.
I don't think it is.
It would burn me again if I don't, trust me. If I don't captain him, he's going to do something amazing. So,
That's true. But Kane against Leicester.
Yeah, Sam, I like that. I like Kane, I've got to say. And I think for someone like me who's down in the doldrums, I like Kane this week. I think City was sluggish last night. It's the worst I've seen them in ages.
Yeah, you're right.
And, that's saying something.
Yeah.
I mean, look, they could play badly and he could still score three, couldn't he? So there's not going to be many weeks where you've got a genuine challenger. And I think this is definitely one of them.
Okay, so Liam's thinking Kane. Jules is thinking Haaland. Sam, I'm guessing you're somehow getting Harry Kane into your side and you're going to captain him from what you just said.
Well, Kelly,
I thought we were wrapping the podcast. We could have another 10 minutes here again.
No, we are. I've got a straight choice to make between whether I want to take a -4 or whether I want to just roll through with 11 without taking a hit. If I don't take a hit, I'll be having Son in my team as a massive differential and hoping for the best. And in which case I'm captaining Haaland. If I take the -4, I'll have Kane in my team and then I'll be probably handing him the armband because I just love his record against Leicester.
Okay, so I quite like that, the fact that we aren't all going with Haaland. There's a bit of difference. I think this week we could see quite a lot of differences in people's teams. So, Liam, for managers like you who are looking to claw back up those mini leagues, get some ground made up, this could be a week.
I mean, look, it's a dangerous game to play to be betting against Haaland because he's been an absolute machine. I think if I was doing all right, there's no way I'd be captaining anybody else except him. But I think if you're trying to make up a little bit of ground, go for it. Leicester are playing badly. It's Harry Kane. Why not? Can things get any worse for me? I don't think so.
Well, Liam, thank you so much for your company on the podcast this morning. Thanks, sorry, your printer's broken, but I'm very impressed that you write everything in your notepad. Tell us what's next for you. What's life looking like? How busy are you at the moment?
We've got, we're going over to America in November for some shows. Which I was talking to one of my friends yesterday. Again, I've got fond memories of, I was in America a while ago, a few years back, getting up at 3 a.m. to watch. I think I had David Dunn was watching Birmingham against Blackburn at 3 a.m. So there'll be plenty of early mornings, I think, on the tour bus to watch the half 12 kickoff and whatnot. So we'll be in America for, and then we're going over to Mexico, I think, as well, to a festival over there. So, so that'd be nice. And I think we're over there just before the World Cup starts, back here for the World Cup, for normal kickoff times.
And don't forget, if you're going to get up for the early kickoffs and stuff, don't forget an hour and a half before the first kickoff of the game week to get your FPL team sorted.
Deadline. Don't miss the deadline.
Don't miss the deadline. All of this hard work will be undone. And the good thing is you'll be back when Qatar's going on, so you'll have all those unlimited transfers and you can make them all of the time. Liam, best of luck with your FPL season, with everything, with the Cortinas. We look forward to hearing your FPL-related song, though I'm convinced your current single is actually about FPL rather than anything else. Sam and Jules, thanks as always for being with us. Jules, free hit, wild card, decided yet?
No. I'm gonna.
He won't tell you the truth anyway, Kelly. He'll change his mind.
Yeah, all the time, because of you. It's always because of you. I'm thinking about Ken Captain now. What am I saying?
Well, on that note, I think that's where we'll leave it, because this debate could go on forever, especially if we wait for Jules to make a decision. A reminder, your deadline this week, Friday night football, means that it's 18:30 UK time on Friday night ahead of the two Premier League fixtures. We'll be back with you next Thursday, and Off the Bench will also be out on Tuesday. So do check in with them then. Also, check out fantasy.premierleague.com and the Premier League app to make all of your changes and for more hints and tips. The very best of luck, and we'll see you next week.